Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 492 and is sponsored by Acreworks, The Barmaids, Black Trillium Fibers, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, and Little Skein in the Big Wool. This week's segments include...
On the Needles.
Events.
Mother Knows Best.
When knitting attacks.
A review.
Strawn to Gold.
And so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. How's it going this week, Mom?
Excellent, lovey. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm kind of all over the place with my knitting. I had a doctor's appointment, and I've had some meetings and things, which means I'm getting to listen to knitting podcasts again. We usually listen to music in the car at the moment. We try to be relatively democratic about it. When I say relatively democratic, I actually mean that I'm a benevolent dictator, but I let the kids have input, which is the benevolent part. But ultimately, when we're in the car, it's my turn to pick. We take turns. So anyway, I was alone, so I got to listen to podcasts again. So I'm almost done with an episode of Actually Knitting. I got caught up on In a Snit, and I'm so excited about stuff. So I was thinking, Christy was talking on In a Snit about this happy yellow golden colored shawl she's working on, which made me remember a shawl I started like 10 years ago. And then I misplaced the beads. And basically that was the end of that. It was a Sivia Harding one. It was the Dryad shawl. If you've been listening for many, many years, I started it after Sock Summit.
Oh, that has been some time.
Yes, not that long after Sock Summit. So I'm kind of like...
Sock Summit that we attended was 2008, correct? 2009?
Just before your surgery, yeah.
Okay.
So I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, I should pull that out of my UFO pile. And I'm listening to all these other things. I'm like, I should really pull that out of my UFO. You know what I really want to start? Which is not good for my stash dash prospects, but is excellent for Knitting Mojo in general. Because I have to beat Boston Jen, and I'm already on track to do that if I have done my math correctly. So let's talk about knitting, shall we?
Let's talk about knitting.
What have you got this week?
I'm working on my purl break again. And I love this. I love working on it. It is so autopilot-y. And I finished my fourth color, and I started the fifth. I think the original, they work with two big skeins.
But you know what? I love this with the... So you're doing it out of the Oink Pigments pigtails, which we picked up, I think, at TNNA a couple of years ago. And a solid, obviously, but it's more than one skein, because this is rather substantial.
It is.
And it's so beautiful.
I love Stephen West's designs.
Me too.
And I particularly like his classic designs.
I love his off-the-wall stuff. It's not stuff I'd necessarily knit, but I really appreciate that it exists in the knitting world. I love looking at all of it and appreciating... Like, I'm not going to wear runway clothes. I barely wear nice clothing that's... I mean, I've started wearing spring dresses with crinolines as my alternative to shorts and t-shirts and or slash jeans and t-shirts. So I'm not really the target audience. But that doesn't mean I don't enjoy seeing that stuff. Like, just like the on Project Runway.
Yeah.
So I feel like he is the Project Runway. There's a few designers like that whose stuff I really enjoy. But it doesn't hurt that I like him quite a lot as a person as well. I liked his designs first, and it turned out he's a charming person. We did an interview with him at Stitches a couple of years ago, and it's up that you can listen to.
Well, we did an interview.
We did. It's up to listen to. I have a couple more to edit from that batch, which I would like to get done before this Stitches, so I can get a fresh batch of interviews to very slowly edit and put up.
Good plan.
I think of this as that long-term stretch thing. It's just that extra treat. It's... that decadent dessert you only get once in a while. That's how I feel about these interviews.
Okay.
Because they are really good, in my very candid opinion. So anyway, so you're happy and you like working on that.
And I'm thinking I want to knit another one when I'm done with this.
Okay. We've got a million mini skeins. Approximately. If you don't, I do. I believe you have something in your stash from Stitches last year.
I do.
Yeah. If I recall, you know what's funny? I can't remember what I did last week, but I can remember what you bought at Stitches last year.
Good.
So.
The next time when I'm looking for something, I'll ask you.
Well, I don't know where it is. I just can tell you, did you buy it or did you not buy it?
That's a good place to start.
That is a good place to start.
What are you working on?
I am making some slow progress on a Knit More Vanilla sock, which might actually turn, with a Cynthia variation, which is Knit 3 Purl 1.
Mm-hmm.
But I might turn it into a Vanilla is the New Black. Because I wanted, we're going to do new pictures for the pattern, because it's been a million years since we've done
right. A
picture for the Vanilla sock pattern. And we wanted to just make it more fun and pretty and put something new up there. So I'm actually thinking I might turn this into a Vanilla is the New Black sock, because I really, really like how they do it. I don't
Do actually, you like the fit?
I haven't finished them yet. Maybe. Did you make me a pair?
I did. Okay. That's why I'm asking. Do you like
worn,
the fit?
And I haven't worn socks since.
Of course not. It's too warm.
Yeah.
But it has a much higher instep.
I have wide. This is the very personal episode. I have somewhat wide feet. I think that
and
would be okay.
You have a high instep, yeah.
I do. It should be good.
For me, there's too much room and too much fabric on the instep.
So you have to modify. You have modified it for yourself.
I'm just knitting bigger socks for when I have guests.
Yeah. That's very nice of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really like the knitting of it, so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's
They're really fun to knit. We should find a way of adapting it so you like how it fits you, too.
Okay.
But in truth, I don't love knitting the Knit More Vanilla socks anymore. They're not my favorite. That blasted heel flap. I mean, they're fine, and if you like knitting them, great. They're a good start to sock knitting.
So if you're not into knitting vanilla socks anymore, you should do my afterthought heel.
I have done afterthought heels. I did. So I went through a phase. I like to knit the same thing a million times, and then I move on to the next thing, which is how I kind of live my life.
Yeah, I've been knitting Vanilla is the New Black socks since the beginning of the year.
So, like, I remember being in Sioux Falls when I was at XRX, and what I was into during that phase of my life, my end of college phase, was the garter stitch heel sock from Lucy Neatby.
Right.
It's a short row garter stitch heel, and it's squishy and delightful. And I knit
A gazillion
pairs of those. And then I didn't like how they fit in my dress shoes for work, because I had a real job. And when I say a real job, I mean a really terrible job, where I had to wear grown-up clothes and traditional-looking shoes. So I switched to a stockinette stitch short row heel, and I had to modify it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I went back to heel flaps, I think, for a really good long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did afterthought heels for a while. And now my current afterthought heel. So then I really liked the one from Lara Neal. She published it as the free pattern that goes with, I think it's called Fork in the Road Socks. My memory is a little bit terrible, but we'll link everything in the show notes. We'll link all of these in the show notes in case you need a new flavor of new vanilla sock. So then I did Fork in the Road Socks for a while after Knit More Vanilla Socks were my thing. And then I did Susan B. Anderson's Afterthought Heel Sock, which has a fast name, which I don't remember, but we'll link to in the show notes. And now, I mean, and then I fell off of knitting socks.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm kind of into Vanilla is the New Black. But then Boston Jen was talking about a heel she's using.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's the double helix heel or something like that. I have to go back and check her show notes.
No, it's not the double helix.
You know, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
So she had one she was talking about.
It's not Pythagorean theorem, but something like that.
Hypotenuse?
No, not hypotenuse.
We'll look it up and link in the show notes. Super helpful. Anyway, but I go through phases where I just want to knit the same thing over and over again. And I'm really digging the process on Vanilla is the New Black. So anyway, it's a lot of talking for what basically ended up being like 3 rounds on a sock while I was waiting.
Okay.
You're welcome, people who listen to the podcast. What else have you got?
So remember the welcome blanket?
I do.
I haven't knit at all on that, but we had company and our company didn't bring her knitting.
Do you want to tell people what I was doing?
You tell them.
So mom was nice enough to host for me. She had her house open so I could practice teaching. I'm a certified positive discipline parent educator, which means I am now certified to teach the positive discipline method to other parents, which is super fun. So I'm doing a dry run at home for people who we know and who already like me, who can give me feedback. And then I'm going to take it and teach it through our elementary school. So mom opens up her house and makes tea, or we made lemonade for this because it was hot as all get out. And it was my knitting friends who came, and they didn't bring knitting. So mom provided the knitting as well.
Yeah. So half a square got done.
Excellent.
And I was thinking, it was just noodling around in my head, and we have squares that are knitted from side to side, like quilting half square triangles.
Yes.
So theoretically, if you want to do a knitted quilt design, Afghan, you could use half square triangle designs.
I did. I Googled for that, and I screen capped a few that I liked, and they're in my project page for later.
Oh, very good. So yeah, so I was not that brilliant.
You're totally brilliant. I just...
You thought of it before.
Yes.
Okay.
There's enough room for both of us to be brilliant.
Okay, excellent. That's good to know.
I learned it from you, Mom.
Lovey, what else have you been working on?
I have made some good progress on my worsted boxy out of the Neighborhood Fiber Company Studio Worsted in the Parkland colorway. I love working on that sweater. I love how enormous it is, which is a weird thing to say. Because normally I would be like, so much knitting.
So I guess we're knitting more blankets.
Well, it's not only that, but it's the whole vibe of it. I love the color. I love how the yarn feels. I love being able to... That's what I've been hauling out into the backyard when the kids require some supervision. Because they're mostly good, but we got a new thing, so they need a few more eyeballs for the time being. But I can just work on it and not have to think about anything, because I'm just going back and forth in stockinette stitch for the rest of my life right now. And that's okay. So I'm digging that. What else have you got?
I have been working on my hashtag choose your own adventure, Cal. I decided on the vitamin D, and I started it, and it is a sort of raglan-y from the neck, from the top down, and I finished 38 rows.
That's spectacular.
And it's a strange number. But it comes in repeats of, 23 rows? No. You repeat row 16 to 23.
Ah, got it.
So, and row 38.
Cool.
And each row you add like four or 10 stitches depending on where you are in the pattern. I thought I could wear it with summer dresses, and it's a creamy white, so it's lovely.
That'll be really nice, and you'll enjoy wearing it.
Yes, and you can't steal it. Also, it doesn't go with the white.
I can't, or I haven't yet.
It doesn't go with the white on your summer dresses.
Yeah, it's cream colored. It's not bleachy white.
No,
that's okay. I'll get some dresses so that I can steal it, and it'll match.
That's good.
I'm willing to be flexible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What have you been working on?
I'm also making some good progress on my hashtag choose your own adventure, Cal. This is the Fading Lines cardigan by Hohe Locatelli. I am really enjoying. This is another one where I'm back and forth in stockinette endlessly with a few increases here and there because it's a neck down cardigan. I can't work on it in the dark, which isn't normally an issue, except that it was kind of an issue this last week. But I'm trying to get it to the point where it looks more like a sweater and less like a worm.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Because when you start a sweater with fingering weight yarn, it takes a while to get to where it looks like anything. But I really love the color.
It still looks like maybe a snake.
It's currently, it's upgraded from worm to snake, yes. But these are, fingering weight sweaters are absolutely worth the effort, but they are kind of, they're a marathon. You have to be willing to just kind of slog through for a while. And that's okay, because I'm going to get so much wear out of this. And while I am slogging, I'm actually going to take my contrast colors with me to the store. We have to buy back to school clothes. But I'm going to take, pardon the wrinkling, my gradient kit that's for the collar portion with me to the store and see if I can find t-shirts to match it.
Oh, okay.
So that when this is done, I've got shirts to wear under it that match and I don't have to...
What color is this thing?
This thing, my beautifulness?
Yes.
The gradient kit is called Shades of Jade. This is Neighborhood Fiber Company Rustic Fingering. And the main color is Edgewood. And they're named after neighborhoods in Maryland and D.C. and that okay. area. Baltimore. Did you notice that I just got closer and closer?
That's very good.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really enjoying the process on this one. It's the thing I've been hauling around to work on. And Little Skin in the Big Wool is doing, she does two shapes of sweater bags. So she's got this humongous bucket bag, which you got for the Choose Your Own Adventure Cal. And she's doing an oversized box bag as well. So I got the box bag and it's got this nice thick handle, like a loop on the edge.
Right.
And I tend to like stuff with straps when I'm carrying it, but that fits over my forearm really nicely. And I actually think this is something you could walk and knit with theoretically if your sweater is not humongous yet. But it's not uncomfortable to carry because I've been hauling it around. And the more I carry it, the more I like the shape. So anyway, so that's a fun one. I've got the picture of Grover in his sweater. I just need a kick in the pants to get it uploaded into Ravelry so I can do the next pages. Because it's not inspiring to upload a next page when I know I can't send out a big blast. So it's the if you give a mouse a cookie problem.
Okay.
So that's coming. And then we'll keep adding pages and it'll keep being fun. What else have you got?
I am still working on a pair of Vanilla is the Black socks in the Cadet Blue Peyton's Croy. And so one sock has all the heel increases done.
Excellent.
And the second sock, I'm still working on heel increases. So, and what I like about this style is there are no gusset stitches to pick up.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's not the worst part for me. For someone who likes to knit as much as I do, I don't understand why I hate knitting heel flaps. That's the part that gets me.
Well, the Vanilla don't have heel flaps.
They don't. It's like perfect and brilliant.
What else?
I knit a really big swatch last night. It's easily 5 inches by 4 inches.
That is big for you.
I know. Wait till you see the picture on the Instagrams, because it's drying right now while we record. So I've been chatting with Nicole Frost, who I enjoy, again, as a person, as well as thinking she is an amazing artist.
Yeah.
And I just finished spinning my last Frost bat, but we've been talking back and forth, and she did a colorway, and I said, I think I'd like a sweater of this one. And she said, okay, so here's your homework. So instead of just dyeing a bunch of something... She tends to do small batches of something very specific, which is really interesting. So for this one, I want to call it the New Directions sweater by Hohe Locatelli. It's not that. It's the stripy one that's Interpretations Volume 5. I'll link to the right pattern in the show notes. I forgot to write it down because I can't remember the name of the sweater. So this one has a side-to-side sleeve and then half, like a good portion of the front is knit vertically. So side to side, okay. And then there's a panel that you knit zip, 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 back and forth, and then the sleeve is done the other direction. So it's lots of vertical lines. And so you swatch, and then you cast on for the sleeve, and then you knit a row, and you measure how much yardage it took to knit the row. And then you do that again for the horizontal portion of the front, and again for the vertical portion of the front, so that there's intentional pooling. Or an intentional color effect. I like working with people who are creative about these things because I am definitely not. I'm just doing what she's telling me.
You do good execution.
Yes, execution is my forte. This color and things like that are not my wheelhouse, and I'm totally comfortable when I look at someone's things and say, just do what you do, and I'll be happy. So I am doing exponentially more swatching for this than I do normally because she's putting a lot of effort into this. So I'm really excited about the process, and I'm gonna see if I can get Nicole to loop us in on the process a bit so people can kind of follow along, because it's such a different way as opposed to just going to the website and being like, I like this yarn, click buy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I also am a big fan of, in case you're wondering. But anyway, I'm really excited about this because it's something so different from what I've done before. And that's what I'm looking for. We've been podcasting for 10 years and knitting between us for more than 70.
That sounds
so very old. Experienced. Yes. So anyway, that is what I'm very excited about. What else have you got?
I had knitted a pair of bluish regia socks, and I usually use 60 grams of yarn for a pair of my standard socks. So I have generally about 40 grams left over that I like to turn into preemie socks. So I cast on a new preemie hat,
mm-hmm.
and I like to have 8 decreases. So my cast on is generally a multiple of 8.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I knitted past the ribbing. So I'm now in the regular straight knitting part.
Cool.
Yes. And that's all my knitting.
I have more.
You do?
I do. I went on my mom date this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And because none of my sweaters were at a Knit Endlessly Forever point, I grabbed my Tale as Old as Time cowl. Can I tell you how much I love having something I can grab and knit endlessly in circles? I will be so sad when this is done. I will have to buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to.
I like knitting cowls.
Yeah. And I love doing it in a self-striping yarn.
Yes.
Because that just, it makes it more delicious. So we went and saw Ocean's 8. Highly recommend. Super fun film. Spectacular soundtrack.
Huh.
It wasn't available on auto rip, which means it downloads immediately. So I had to buy a CD, which is fine, but I was just disappointed I couldn't use it as driving music because it is excellent. So I worked on my cowl. I will post a picture of how much I got done. I just haven't had 5 extra brain seconds to do that, but I enjoyed it tremendously. And I was gonna ask you about my fox hat. Since it is a tremendous amount of yardage for Rex's fox hat, all I have left to do is the ears.
Yeah, you were doing black triangles yesterday.
Ah, you saw.
I did.
So I started by knitting them, and I don't think I'm going to get the intended effect, and I don't think they're going to be sticky uppy enough if I knit them. Even if I knit them at a dense gauge, I feel like crochet will be better for this.
Alternatively, do you think you could do the edges in a I-cord?
No. What edges?
The edges of the ears.
No. 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 Maybe. But probably not. I was thinking if I crochet them, I know they will stand up.
Okay.
And I already have the directions for the crocheted ears.
Okay.
Is there a reason why I shouldn't do the crocheted ears instead of knitting the ears?
Are you going to take it to the fair to be judged?
I've literally never taken anything to the fair to be judged.
I put
it on my children's heads and then I judge.
Would your kids enjoy sticky up ears?
Yes.
So do it.
Okay.
Who's your target audience?
The child who positively, absolutely will never wear this hat is my
target. You don't know that.
Okay, that's fair. If he doesn't wear it, it fits me, so it's not a loss.
Okay.
And I still have to make Genevieve's, and as we all know, she is the most gracious
recipient. Yes.
So, okay. So I'm going to do that. That's it for our knitting this week. Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Join Little Skein for our 3rd annual Summer Knit Along Sock School. Knit some socks and read a favorite book. We'll have support in the Little Skein Ravelry group, lots of encouragement, prizes, and of course, school supplies. Starting June 23rd and going through Labor Day, we'll have sock school kits, new yarns inspired by your favorite picture books, and commemorative project bags. Links to the Knit Along and the Little Skein shop are in the show notes. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
What events will we be participating in/attending in the near future?
So May 1st, the Choose Your Own Adventure Cal started.
Yes.
And well, I've finally got something to talk about because Yay! I started my vitamin D
cardigan.
Yes. Stash Dash started May 25th. It's going to run till August 27th. And this is hosted by the Knit Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an event that encourages you to finish your UFOs.
Which is a great thing to come up on in the fall.
Absolutely.
And a great reason to arbitrarily compete with your friends about things that don't matter / aren't real.
And the numbers are all, no,
the numbers are not made up.
The points are made up.
The points are made up.
Okay. June 1st, the Great Knit Off started. This is a competition. And
this is a competition.
Our colorway benefits the International Rescue Committee.
And it ended yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Which really will be 2 days ago once you guys get this. You need to do a live grafting.
I can do that.
If I set up the thing for you, I can read you the questions while you graft, and then you can answer them.
That sounds good.
I'm sure people will love to see you.
Generally, only my hands will show while I'm grafting.
I'll see if I can point it over your shoulder, but still.
Okay.
All right. So you're going to do your Kitchener, and then I'll pick mine up and keep working on it. This is not something I can work on in the dark. It is a delightful, endlessly in circles thing, but you have to look at it and kind of adjust your gauge, which is why I can't work on it in the theaters.
Usually I do my Kitcheneering knitted.
That's okay. You can do it however you want to do it.
But this is so long.
You could still do it.
I'm going to do a sew.
I wonder if you could do the Isolde modification.
Of course I will.
So, no, I mean for when you do the knitted one. The knitted graft. Let's mess with it.
Okay.
Nothing. They don't like watching anything more than watching us mess up live, in case you're wondering.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yes. I did that when I was winding bobbins. I couldn't remember how to turn it on because I am so pretty, guys. All right. What else have we got?
Tour de Fleece ended.
It did.
And that ran July 7th to 29th. So it ended, what, 2 days ago?
Several days ago, on Sunday, I believe.
Okay. Then we have a definite maybe for the wool auction at the Monterey County Fair in Monterey, California, on Labor Day. Are we getting any closer to knowing if you're going or not?
The question is whether or not we will all be going, is really the thing. Because okay. Genevieve has school the next day.
Okay.
I think Rex has school the next day, too. But anyway, the kids might stay home. I don't know. Mom and I are really going to try to go. Everything is kind of definite. Maybe because if the kids get sick, we don't go.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of how it goes. All right.
Then there is PIQF, Pacific International Quilt Fest, which runs from October 11th to 14th at the Santa Clara Convention Center, where Stitches takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited about going. And talking about Stitches, we are going to be attending Stitches February 21st. Through 24th at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Also, I hear that Madrona,
which is its last year, yeah.
They're having their last year's they have been doing it for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and the founders are in their 70s.
I feel like I was reading about it on Stephanie Pearl McPhee's blog at the beginnings of it.
I read about it on Facebook yesterday.
No, I meant the first few Madronas.
Has it been that long?
It has. I think so.
Hi.
I can't remember exactly when she started blogging, but I remember reading her back catalog when I was working a phone job in 2006, and I would read it when I was on hold.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a back catalog that I worked through. I read all of her back catalog and all of Franklin's, and then I was obsessed with knitting lace and spinning. Thanks a lot, guys. but yeah, so it's been many years. So that's sad, but also wonderful because it gives them the opportunity to do something else.
Yes.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Dreaming of fall sweater weather? Infinite Twist has you covered with Dyer's Choice sweater quantities. Each yarn pack includes 1,800 yards of hand-dyed 6-ply merino in a one-of-a-kind color for $98, and shipping is free. Colors are not repeatable, and when they're gone, they're gone. Check out the colors currently available at infinitetwist.com.
Hello, fellow adventurers. I am Skananigans, the Dungeon Master of Dungeons & Dropstitches, a brand new knitting-themed Dungeons & Dragons stream coming live to your devices beginning on August 2nd. We are a group of intrepid fiber artists traveling through the Faerun in search of adventure and wool. Catch our Thursday evening sessions at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch and YouTube. Follow along on our Instagram at Dungeons & Dropstitches and join our Ravelry group. Can't join in live? All of our episodes will be available to watch on YouTube after the stream is completed. We can't wait for you to join in on our adventure, so grab your knitting needles and your spellbooks and get ready to roll some 20s.
For Mother Knows Best, we are going to answer a question out of the What Do You Want to Hear About thread. Jasmine Lovey, what question are we answering today?
Today we're answering a post from The Cozy Housewife, who writes, "You guys are always so positive about your knitting attacks. Is this something that comes naturally to you, or is it something you've had to work on and develop? I know you learn more from your mistakes, but I am working on a shawl and keep messing up. Total user error. And I'm finding it hard to stay relaxed and positive about it. Any tips?" Well, my first tip is to do a podcast in which you have an entire segment that you dedicate to all of your mistakes.
And then when you make a mistake, it's not wasted, it's podcast material.
So Mom and I will joke that we've developed some podcast material, and that's really just code for...
I messed something up.
Massively. Mm. So there are lots of different ways of, I think it's partly reprogramming your brain, because we're also wired not to be thrilled every time we make a mistake, right? And yes, they are learning, they're valuable learning opportunities. So you can, A, reframe it. What have I learned from this? Oh, I need to read the instructions closer. Oh, I shouldn't start things at 11 o'clock at night. There are themes in our knitting attacks, mm-hmm. right? Just because we're saying these are learning opportunities doesn't mean we're actually learning anything from them, in case you're wondering.
And the rule is you get to repeat the mistake until you learn the lesson. Until you really learn the lesson.
So another thing that Mom used to say to folks at the knitting shop was that they're getting value out of their yarn. Because if you're re-knitting the same yarn 12 million times, you've really gotten your value out of it. You also can see how well it holds up over time. Because there are some yarns that do not improve with ripping.
No.
So. It also gives you the chance to practice compassion for yourself. Because sometimes when you mess something up, if you're like me, you sometimes mutter unflattering things about yourself under your voice. And sometimes people hear that. Like, for example, if you happen to have a mother who spends a lot of time with you and hears you muttering unflattering things about yourself, they say things. My mom will say things like, "Don't you talk about my baby that way?"
Yeah.
So why don't you add some stuff?
Well, I have a sweater that I think I've ripped out 3 times already. And it's still not right what I want. And I don't want to give the sweater away. I want to knit with that yarn. And I like it to fit and be good. So it's a learning experience.
But how did we get here? That's the thing. They want to get to where we are and be positive about it. It is definitely a tongue-in-cheek, though if you have something to contribute to the knitting world, I absolutely think a podcast is a great one. There's so many good ones because there are so many great voices in our community that have a story to tell or that like to share their progress, and there's a niche for everyone.
You know, I like the patterns I pick, and I like the yarn I knit with. So I get to do it some more.
It's also a really good opportunity to work on something else and give yourself a break. Or have some ice cream. Actually, this is a great application for the cake/ice cream experiment we do. Mm-hmm. Every time you mess up, have something good. Give yourself a treat. I messed this up. I'm going to go have something sweet. And then you won't...
You won't feel so bad.
You'll feel better for sure, but then you won't associate it with having a bad taste in your mouth.
That, I don't know if this is a good idea.
It might ruin...
You might want to make mistakes all the time.
Hmm.
On the other hand, once you finish that quart of ice cream.
Pint. Remember, Talenti gelato.
Yes. Pint of ice cream, then you're done making mistakes for the time being.
That's
until
true.
You buy new ice cream.
And you can't really make a mistake when you're eating ice cream. There is no mistake in eating ice cream. I, in fact, have never felt sad after eating ice cream.
Good point.
All right. I would love to hear how other people reframe how they bounce back after a knitting attack. What about you?
Sometimes I rip the stuff that needs to be ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do something else not knitting related, and I come to it back to it fresh.
Or you can have a friend do the ripping for you, if you have a good friend. That's a useful thing. And then you can commiserate together. Sometimes it's just easier to laugh. Honestly, it's easier to laugh about these things with you physically, mm-hmm. Mom, and with you, the listeners, because it just doesn't, it's just knitting.
Also, having somebody else rip your knitting is not a bad idea because the other person isn't as emotionally invested in whatever you were knitting as you are.
Your problems.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear how other people bounce back from knitting attacks. I'm really looking forward to this thread because it'll give us all more tools for our toolboxes. All right, if you have any questions for us, pop them in the What Do You Want to Hear About thread and we will answer them. All right, let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Since 2008, Black Trillium Fibers has been dedicated to two things, great color and quality yarn. However, those two things alone cannot adequately describe the incredible joy of being part of such a creative, diverse, and supportive society of crafters and artisans. So here's to the next 10 years and a new layer of commitment to our family, our community, and beyond. You'll find us at blacktrilliumfibers.com. We look forward to crafting a beautiful world with you.
It's when knitting attacks.
Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How has your knitting been treating you this week?
Well, let me tell you about that. So I started my vitamin C three times.
D.
Yes. Three times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's generally how my projects go. If there's any kind of pattern, I have to redo it, and it feels kind of like swatching.
Mm-hmm.
Does that tie in with our question?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I had a hard time following the directions on paper. So, it's a raglan sweater, and it has stitch markers. So, I said, I need to figure out how to notice better when there's a stitch marker. So I took my highlighter,
mm-hmm.
and on the pattern, I highlighted every place that it said slip marker.
Mm-hmm.
So I have four yellow parts, and that wasn't quite enough. So I took a green highlighter and highlighted the sleeves.
Okay.
So I have plain for front and back, fronts and back.
Mm-hmm.
And
green for the sleeves.
Green for the sleeves.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And that worked. How has your knitting been treating you?
Let me address something else first. You may have noticed our sound changed at the 30-ish minute mark. We had a when microphones attack. One of our microphones has died. So our sound is a bit different because we're both piggybacking on the same microphone. I hope it's not too disruptive. But I have a really hard time bouncing back from that. When we have tech problems, it just makes me want to quit podcasting forever. But yet, here we are. So my knitting. I ordered, ages ago, I ordered some stitch markers from Katrinkles, and these are these little wooden sweaters, and they're so precious. I did not notice that there was a drop down for the ones with safety pins, the gourd-shaped safety pins, and one for ring markers. So I was using the safety pins, and they were a bit small for my needles. So I looked on Instagram, on their Instagram, to see like if people had modified them or how they had modified them, and they had some with rings. And so I sent them a message and said, "Hey, what kind of jump ring do you? Or what's the? How is the option? Tell me about rings instead of safety pins." And they're like, "Oh, it's a jump ring." And I was like, "Cool. What size?" And apparently you can order them that way. You don't have to DIY it. But because I didn't want to wait for the package to come, and because we have local bead shops, we have a couple of them left, I got some jump rings. I got some 6mm ones and some... I got 6mm jump rings, and I got some of the stitch markers from Lissies, which are my favorite ones because they're perfectly round and they don't have a join.
Mm-hmm.
So they're smooth and they don't snag on your knitting. And I took out the safety pins and I opened the jump ring and I ran the wooden stitch marker through the jump ring and then the ring as well so that they're a little bit dangly. Mm-hmm. They're not attached to the ring marker.
Okay.
The big one. So they turn as I'm knitting so I can enjoy them the whole time.
Oh, lovely.
And it seems to work better for my knitting than just having them directly on the needles.
Yeah.
So I think that's my favorite way of having stitch markers now. And since I have a jillion jump rings, because you buy them in quantities of, you buy them in, by the gross, I believe. So.
That's what, 144?
Something like that. I mean, they're just a million of them in a little bag. So I fixed them. I DIY fixed them. And the kids really enjoyed watching me figure out how to work with stainless steel jump rings and two pairs of needle nose pliers and not being coordinated and working with something small. So that was super fun. What else have you got?
So I lost a game of chicken with my purl break.
No!
I ran out of one color of yarn, maybe a hand span and a half before the end of the row.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I MacGyvered it and I'm back on track.
Excellent. That's it for me. My only knitting attack is really...
Then we're done with this segment.
Okay, let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. No matter what you need, the Barmaids have you covered from head to toe. Face pudding to keep you smiling, Lolo lips to keep them kissable, probiotic deodorant to keep you fresh as a rose, O for feet's sake to keep your feet soft and sandal ready, and the Lolo body bar for everything in between. You can find all this and more at bar-maids.com. This week for our review, we will be reviewing Firmament Stellar Stitches for your next adventure by Hunter Hammersden. This retails for $19.95, and I believe that includes a free Ravelry copy when you buy the hard copy of the book. Yes, it does. So, this is Hunter Hammersden. This is a teeny-weeny little book, by the way. It's four patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But they're super fun, and it actually ends up being, I think, slightly less expensive than buying the patterns separately, if you're going to buy all four.
Okay.
These are beautiful. I saw one of these hats as a knit-along on... I think the Knit and Chat page on Facebook, and they're gorgeous. I would like you to talk about dip stitches, and then I will give feedback, because you are always, I say, this book has pretty pictures, and Mom is like, this book is brilliant for the following very organized, smart reasons. Fire away.
So I've been following the development of this book, really, on Hunter Hammersden's blog.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do our disclaimer. We think Hunter Hammersden is brilliant.
She hangs the moon.
Yes. And the curiosity cabinets.
Yes.
And so I've been following the development of this. And these are dip stitches. So you take your needle and you go in a couple of rows down below. And you pick up a stitch. And it's very graphic, 3D looking,
mm-hmm.
what she does with them. It's absolutely charming.
I feel like you did a pineapple hat or a berry hat with dip stitches a million years ago.
Maybe. I've forgotten about a lot of my knitting because it was so long ago. So I'm so glad you remember, at least.
Yes.
So these are very pretty designs, and she's got hats, and I think there are different sizes of hats. There are different sizes of hats, and she said, do a swatch.
To different gauges, too.
Yes, so you take a needle and you swatch until you have something that looks pretty,
mm-hmm.
which is very much how Hunter Hammersden herself seems to be doing her hats,
mm-hmm.
considering what I'm reading in her blog. I think the blog is called Pantsville. Which yes. is also the name of
her publishing. Yeah, Pantsville Press.
Yes. So, four hats with different patterns, and she says she swatches. And then, I guess, the pattern takes over and takes her new places. It's like variations on a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm rather charmed, and so I'm thinking I'm going to take her patterns and try them on preemie hats.
That's a great idea. She also has a new thing coming out that I think you're going to like.
She has a lot of new things coming out. So
this is so fun, and it's just a little truffle of a book.
Yes.
It's rich. It's fun. It's something special. This is a great thing if you've got if you're planning for stocking stuffers. It's not out yet. This is not published until August 28th. But we were so excited when it came in the mail. We really wanted to review it this week. So we will put all the information for pre-order up on our show notes, and you can take a look at it. This is so fun. The quality is good. It's just a sweet little book. It's the perfect size for throwing in your knitting bag if that is your vibe. Oh, you also get a Ravelry download if you get the hard copy of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily have to throw the book in your bag, but it's nice and small and tidy.
It is. And she gives you some behind the scenes look into how things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's taking photos on a rock
mm-hmm.
that's in her backyard.
Is that really?
Yes, it's something she uses as a regular photo prop.
Huh. So. Interesting.
Yes.
These are very appealing. The charts are easy to read. They're nice and big. You don't need your reading glasses necessarily for them, which I like. You will probably need your reading glasses to do the dip stitch knitting. I would, because I have to count rows.
Yeah.
But the effect is unbelievably cool. I have some yarn in my stash that is dying to be a dipstitch hat, as it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
If this sounds like something you would like to knit, you should definitely check this out. This is Firmament Stellar Stitches for Your Next Adventure by Hunter Hammerson, and it retails for $19.95 US. Definitely give it a look through. It's a sweet little book, and I think you'll really enjoy the knitting.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Every hobby needs organization. Every project needs a place. Erin Lane Bags helps you turn your fiber pastime into neat and organized endeavor. Our project bags, totes, and needle and notions organizers are everything you need to keep your fiber arts from fraying. You can find all this and more at bar-maids.com. This week for Straw into Gold, we wrapped up the Tour de Fleece. I've been like the worst captain ever. I'm the captain who's off doing their own thing and has no idea what the team is doing at all.
Mm.
It's okay. I enjoyed myself. I am still plying up a storm. I finished spinning my rose gold bat from Nicole Frost. That's my palette cleanser between massive plying things. I'm plying a lot of brown yarn for this sweater. It's a lot of yardage. It's a lot of yardage.
Boston Jen?
Boston Jen.
Okay.
Because it counts for four times the finished yardage. It's a three ply and I'm plying it. So I'm going to get basically four finished sweaters out of this. Four.
Yardage-wise.
Finished sweaters yardage-wise. So, I've been working on that. I had it up on the Acre Cape, which is growing on me the more I use it. I'm always very hesitant to try new things, especially if I already have a thing I like, which mm-hmm. we've talked about. But I really wanted to give this a good, solid test.
Mm-hmm.
Because they sent it to us to review. And so far, I really like it. My only issue is I don't have a place to put the felt foot things, the felt pads
that
go, the washers, when it's put away without losing it. And I really don't want to tape a Ziploc bag to the side of a beautiful thing. So I'm enjoying it tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how tiny it folds down to. I like that it's made out of wood and plastic components together, but it's mostly wood. I really like how well thought out. I think the posts might be carbon fiber, but I'm not positive. I have to look again. But it's sturdy and solid. And I had my plying up because I was working on it while we were watching something. And I got interrupted because that happens quite a lot in my house. And Andrew came to me in the kitchen while I was making dinner and he said, I need you to take a deep breath. I'm going to tell you something and you're going to be upset. And I said, okay, what? Right? Yes, he said, somebody got into your plying and it's really bad. And I said, all right, let me go take a look. So I walk over, and it looked very impressive. It looked like a very impressive mess. And at the end of it, it was basically 10 yards total.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot.
It was not that much. So I just broke the plies where they were, and I'll have one skein that has a join in the middle that isn't my end skein, and it'll be fine. So yeah, what I learned was I need to keep my Kate on the chair and then push my wheel in so that the treadles are under the chair's legs
to protect your spinning.
To protect my spinning and have the if it's mid-ply, I usually do it after bedtime. That was a day where I got bold and decided I could do this in the middle of the day again.
So who got into your spinning?
It looked like it was a team effort between Rex and Nikki, because it looked like Rex was having fun pulling, and Nikki just happened to walk through it.
Nikki is the dog.
Yes, Nikki is our dog. So all in all, it was mostly fine. I'm really enjoying getting back to my spinning at this point, because it's been, I tend to spin and then not do it for a while. Yeah. So I'm starting to get to that place where I'm being able to do things again, and it's really exciting. All right. And you don't have anything.
Nope. I was a spectator.
I have a couple of things I want to try, but I'm waiting on that until I do a little bit more spinning. It's drop spinning stuff. Like, okay. I really want to try the thing where you sit and use a
Turkish spindle?
Like a Turkish, not a Turkish spindle, a something else.
Okay.
I'll come to it later.
Oh, yes. A support spindle.
That's the word.
Yeah, I was doing really well on that one.
I really want to do it. I haven't had much success with it, but I haven't done that much practicing, so it gives me the opportunity to learn. All right, that's it for my spinning. Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. So you already know about the AcreWorks Yarn Caddy Kit. Now we're adding a little twist for you. Introducing the AcreWorks Butterfly Kate, designed to fold into itself, making it incredibly easy to pack in a bag and take on any adventure. The Butterfly Kate has a wooden base, a carbon fiber shaft with two angle settings, a nifty pattern holder, and our patent-pending Tensi Tamer gizmo to keep everything in place and select your desired tension. It's designed either for use with our yarn caddy or as a single shaft lazy Kate for use with spinning bobbins. You can find links to AcreWorks along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How is your sewing treating you these days?
Interesting. I'm working on a camp shirt. Mm-hmm. So we did one in class and I used some seersucker and I really wanted to work with flannel plaid.
Cool.
And cut out the pieces and tried matching seams. And I did a lovely job on the collar. And then I tried to set it in. And I noticed that I had sewn and trimmed so much that it didn't quite fit in. And so I trimmed it and tried again. And I set it in crooked. Now the directions in the book said to just hold it in there and flip the corners and hold it while you sew it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I pulled out all the stitches that I used to sew it in. Mm-hmm. And then I pinned it to within an inch of its life.
Okay.
And sewed it in. Looks fine now.
Is the camp shirt the flannel shirt?
Yes.
It's so cute.
Yes, but it's not done. And I don't know how close my copy is to the original sloper that we used in class. So it needs, I don't know if it feels as accurate to 1/8 of an inch.
Okay.
And it gets really, you need to have.
It needs to be precise.
Precise, yeah.
Yeah.
And I turned the collar, sewed in the collar and turned it. And you said it looks lovely.
It does. It's on your...
on my dress form.
Yes. On Jaja.
I think the notched collar is like 1/4 of an inch off.
Oh.
They're not exactly the same size. Yeah, that's... and there's nothing at this stage that I can do to fix that.
Hmm.
Also, camp shirt has short sleeves.
Yours does not.
No. A flannel shirt with short sleeves seems silly.
I would love one with half sleeves.
Well.
She added to her wish list.
Okay, well, it'll be easier to sew than a shirt with cuffs.
There we are.
Yeah. Well, but I drafted long sleeves, and what I really did is I took the sleeve from the camp shirt where the arm's eye...
mm-hmm.
is matching the shirt, and I sort of married it to the shirt sleeves that I I drafted for the shirt we did in class. So that's done. And I sewed the plackets and I sewed the sleeves in flat. And you want to do as much construction in the flat as possible. You can set in sleeves in the round, but it is so much harder than doing it flat.
With knitting as well. This is one of those things that transfers back and forth.
Exactly. So, and that's where we are right now.
Huh. Well, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week, we'd like to thank AcreWorks, The Barmaids, Black Trillium Fibers, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Little Skein and the Big Wool, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything, that we've talked about in this week's episode can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. And you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, pretty much everywhere is knitmoregirls. And if you haven't already joined our Ravelry group, you absolutely should. It's full of brilliant people and fantastic conversation. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.